It's always painful. It's going to be painful forever for all the families, and it never goes away. People talk about grief, and losing a child is different than losing anything else in your life. You know, something you never expect. Predeceasing your child is the last thing you ever want. 10 years later, you know, your pain changes. You still have to get up every morning and go through the motions. And now, you know, they would be young adults, and their friends are getting married, and it's exciting. Things are happening in their lives, and we're very grateful. We're happy for all that, but. You know, it's still hard. We just miss them. You know, 10 years later, it still hurts as much, and we miss them as much or more.
Tell us about Katie and what she was like and what her dreams were for the future.
Well, you know, Katie was an outgoing young lady, and she, her philosophy in life, everyone should be a princess for at least once a day, because she felt she was a princess in her own mind. And she, acts of kindness were important to her, and I found out probably more after we lost her than before. Some of the really kind acts that she had done. She was a cheerleader, but she also worked at American Eagle, which I think was a huge, which was really good for her. You know, it exposed her to the rest of the world. She was going to go to college at Mercyhurst for political science, possibly, or graphic design. Her father was in advertising, and she really liked that. Kind of unsure, you know, what she wanted to do, but she was a friend to all, I would say. You know, a typical, not easy to raise, a typical teenage girl. You know, we were kind of turning the page on parents not being, if you've ever raised a teenage daughter, you know that they like you one minute and they think you're an idiot the next. So.
I haven't raised one, but I've been one, so I understand.
Yeah, you know, I think we were kind of turning the page on the fact that maybe she didn't think we were such idiots. And all the girls, the girls were, Katie's friends all have been very successful, and the girls that passed away with her were, you know, all going to be leaders. We're going to be very successful. That's why I like to do this drive, is because I feel it's twofold for the families. I feel like it's our way, the family's way of saying thank you to a community, a country that was so generous and so kind to us over the last, you know, in our darkest hours and over the last 10 years. They still continue to be, you know, supportive of us. And it's our way of giving back. Plus the fact that I believe our daughters would have grown up to be fine young women and would have given back to the community in their own way.
Tell us a little bit about the blood drive, where and when it's happening, how people can contribute.
Sure. Twofold things I want to say. It's not just me. It's the five families coming together for the blood drive. It's not just me. I want to make that clear.
Absolutely.
The local blood drive is going to be at St. John's. It's going to be on Thursday, the 15th, from 1 to 7.
That's St. John of Rochester in Fairport, right on Wickford Way.
Right, absolutely. And it's very, and what I want to say about giving blood, it's a little effort and a big impact. It's very easy to do. One donation saves three lives. They drop the age to age 16, so you can, with the parents' consent, you can give blood. And the other thing I want to say is if somebody can't make it on the 15th, and we really would like people to make it on the 15th, there's a program called Sleeves Up, where you go online for the month of June and you sign up at any Red Cross throughout the country under the girls' names, under the Fairport Angels, and you can give blood, and it will be in their memory, and that can be done anywhere in the country. So if somebody can't make it Thursday for some reason, they can go online to any of the closest Red Cross to them, make an appointment online, and give blood in the girls' names. It can be here. It can be Boston, New York, because a lot of their friends don't live in the area anymore. And there's a national need. There's a huge, huge need for blood. And the summertime is their worst shortage. So I challenge any blood donor to bring a friend. And if you're unable to, for some reason, give blood for medical reasons, to truly try to convince someone that you know or love to donate, because at some time in your life, somebody you know or yourself are going to need blood, a transfusion. And make an appointment, so it'll save you some time. There's some prelim paperwork you can read online.
That's redcrossblood.org or 1-800-RED-CROSS.
Right. And it's amazing the people that do come. I have to tell you, it's the person that delivered our mail in Fairport. It's her cheerleading coaches. It's strangers. It's friends. It's family. And every year I'm amazed at the variety of people that that come. And I'm always very grateful to see new faces and to see the ones from year to year. So, and I know I speak on behalf of the families, the five families as well.
Well, if I know anything about Rochester, it's a community that gives back. So I have a feeling you're going to be in good shape.
I do too, Beth. I do too. And as I said, the community has been unbelievable to us, and that's why it's one of the reasons we do this. And I thank you very much for you taking time out of your schedule and from helping us promote this this very important event.
It's my pleasure. Stephanie Shirley, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Beth. Have a good day, and I look forward to speaking to you soon.